The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
The Amplified Bible. It is perhaps more readable, but is it reliable? Should we think of it as a translation? If the words of a text get expanded too much, then is it an accurate rendering? Let's think about this today here on Grace in Focus, and we are so glad that you are joining us. Grace in Focus is the radio broadcast and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. You can find out more about us at faithalone.org, as well as get subscribed to our magazine, also called Grace in Focus. You will find many great articles about our free grace position. It is full color, an attractive package, and a full-sized magazine. It is free with one caveat. If you live outside of the lower 48 United States, you have to pay the postage. Otherwise, yours for the asking. Get signed up at faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Ken Yates.
This one comes from a listener named Don. He has a question about Bible translations, and specifically the Amplified Bible in this case. But I think we could apply it to just translations in general, because there's a bazillion translations available out there, right?
And a lot of them are expanded versions like the Amplified or the Living or Phillips or other things.
Right. And so we'll get your opinion on this and mine, and we'll talk about this. But he specifically asked about John 3:16 in the Amplified Bible, and he says they expand on the words there in John 3:16. And in John 3:16, it says, for the word believe, for believe, they say, trust in, clings to, relies. So for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Don says he doesn't like the phrase clings to. As to him, it implies something we have to do. How do we know if we're clinging to the Lord? And certainly in English, we would say that, right, Bob? I mean, if I'm saying I'm clinging to somebody, it's something that I'm doing. It certainly implies more than I believe in his promise. It involves more than I believe that what he says to me about eternal life. So I'm clinging to
Well,
him.
I have a bigger problem that it's something we have to do, because believing is something we have to do, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's not a work. We're convinced that something is true. It's a passive perception.
Well, in a sense, it is a work. Let me give you an example. Look at John 6:28 and 29. Jesus is talking about eternal rewards and laying up fruit for eternal life. And his listeners say, what must we do that we may work the works of God? Plural. They want to know. Okay, what do we? They're thinking in terms of buying their way into eternal life. And Jesus then corrects them in John 6:29. And what does that verse say?
In John 6:29, it says, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
Now, they didn't ask about the work of God. What'd they ask about?
They asked, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?
Plural.
Right.
But he talks about a singular work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people say we're not saved by work because of Ephesians 2:9. It's true. We're not saved by a Pauline work, by a work of the commandments. But there is a work. I remember talking to Zane Hodges about John 6:29, and he said, work in the sense of action is indeed required. Believing is an action.
Mm-hmm.
It is a work in some sense, in a non-Pauline sense. So when the Lord says, this is the work of God that you believe, now you can argue this is ironic. Some people take it this way. Work in quotes. You know, I'm putting in my air quotes in here. Y'all can't see it, but I'm putting air quotes. Jesus may have meant this is the quote-unquote work of God.
This is what God requires.
Right.
What does God command us?
But I
the
have,
unbeliever.
I have no problem saying belief is something we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that it's a choice. We've talked about this many times. Belief is not a choice, but unbelief can be a choice. What is a choice is I can pray about it. I can say, Lord, show me what the saving message is. I can read the Gospel of John. I can go to church, right? I can talk to Christians and say, tell me what I must do to be saved. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? Was that an action on his part? Sure it was. And when Paul told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, He believed, and that was an action on his part. So I think, Don, that it's a mistake to say that belief is not an action that we do. I agree with you, Ken, that it's a passive action. Mm-hmm. We're simply being persuaded that something is true. The problem with this Amplified Bible translation is not that it's an action. It sounds like it's talking about an ongoing action. Didn't he say clings to?
And relies on. Doesn't
relies on and clings to and trusts in, don't all of them sound like some sort of ongoing action?
Well, the other thing is, if all three of those verbs are included in this translation, is he saying they need to do three things? Are those different?
Well, in the Amplified, they're basically suggesting these are synonymous with believe, and all three are synonymous with each other.
So
trusting
is
the same as clinging, which is the same as relying.
Okay.
But the problem is, to believe is to be persuaded or convinced. For example, John 11:26, Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" He's not saying, "Do you trust in this?" He's not saying, "Do you cling to this?" He's not saying, "Do you rely on this?" He's saying, "Are you convinced? Are you persuaded this is true?" I believe Don goes on to say, look, if they're wrong about belief, how do we know what other things they're getting wrong? Doesn't he ask something like that?
Yeah, he says, what other definitions are they giving that are not correct? If they're wrong here, then are they wrong in other places?
You know, I used to have a Living Bible. I think the same is true with the Living Bible or any of these paraphrases. These are not Bibles. These are commentaries. These are the way people are interpreting the scriptures for you. If you have any of these, don't view it as a Bible. View it as a commentary.
Please plan to join us at Camp Copus in Denton, Texas. The Grace Evangelical Society's 2025 National Conference is May 19th through 22nd. Good fun, wonderful fellowship, recreational opportunities for the younger ones and the older ones, great teaching. Our theme this year is dispensationalism and rewards. VBS for kids, too. More information and early bird registration now at faithalone.org/events. That's faithalone.org/events. Please come and join us.
And I think the issue probably with at least some of our readers is, what about younger people? If they enjoy reading, like, let's say you got a 10-year-old.
Right.
You know, and they want to read the Bible. If they're reading something, like you mentioned, that's a commentary, like the Living Bible or the Amplified Bible here, is that a good thing? Or should you say, no, you need a more accurate translation of the
Greek? I would
Greek.
Get them an accurate translation. I have no problem with some of these children's Bibles where it's not giving you the whole Bible. It's just giving you stories.
With the pictures.
And the everything. Pictures. I mean, that's fine. But children ought to be able to read the New King James or some modern translation at least by the time they're 7 or 8 years old. I mean, if you have a second or third grade reading level, you can handle the Gospel of John, certainly. It's basic. That's what we teach people in first-year Greek, right? We take them to either the Gospel of John or 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John because the Greek is the kind of Greek that an elementary school kid would get.
Yeah, I think the issue here is, as I'm reading Don's question is, and he's using specifically the Amplified Bible, we realize that the people who are translating these different translations are taking certain liberties. What do we do with that? How do we address it when people say, because we've all experienced this, I love the Amplified Bible.
Right.
Do you say to that person, you know, if they go, hey, I love the Amplified Bible and I read it every day because the King James Version to me, I just don't understand it, but I understand the Amplified Bible. Do we say, you know, there's a lot of errors in it? Or how strong? It seems to me that this is Don's question here.
I could give you a few examples from the Amplified Bible, but before I do, let me just say, any translation that's a paraphrase, in my opinion, is suspect. Even the NIV, which is pretty close to the text. Yesterday, I was doing a second-year Greek class, and we translated Galatians 1, 1 through 10, and we came to verses 8 and 9. And in the Greek, it says, if even we or an angel from heaven should preach to you any gospel contrary to that which we preach to you, let him be accursed. And I pointed out that the NIV translates that, let him be eternally condemned. There's nothing about eternal and there's nothing about condemned in estho anathema.
Right.
It's just let him be accursed. And I said, I think it's the Phillips translation says, let him go to hell. There's nothing about hell or going to hell. And so I would even say, I don't even like the NIV because it takes too many liberties, in my opinion. I certainly wouldn't go to the Amplified or any of those others. And let me tell you my translation theory, and then we'll look at just a couple of verses from the Amplified. My translation theory is your translation should be as clear or as ambiguous as the original. So let's do two verses.
Yeah, we can look at Don's point. Does the Amplified Bible get other definitions or other translations wrong? And the answer is yes. And one of those is James 2:14.
All right, what do they say in James 2:14?
In James 2:14, it says, anyone who claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence, can that kind of faith save him? And, of course, the answer is no. And then it says in James 2, genuine faith produces good works. Now, there's a lot of words that are added there. Genuine, good, evidence. None of that is in the Greek. So right. Obviously, the translators are saying you got to have all these good works if you're going to go to heaven.
Right.
What about 1 John 3:9?
Yeah, look at this. No one who is born of God deliberately, knowingly and habitually practices sin.
None of that's in the Greek.
Right.
Deliberately, knowingly, and habitually.
Or practices.
Or practices.
Because it just says does.
Right.
God's seed, his principle of life, the essence of his righteous character, remains permanently in him who is born again, who is born from above, spiritually transformed,
man,
renewed,
alive,
and set apart for his purpose. And he who is born again cannot habitually sin, live a life characterized by sin, because he is born of God and longs to please him.
Man alive. That's, yeah, both in James 2 and in 1 John 3, they've just added, where do you even start?
They're
with
just reading their theology into the text.
They're preaching a sermon.
They are.
Man.
And so let me say, if you have the Amplified Bible, it's a commentary. And it's a Lordship Salvation commentary.
Right.
So just realize that. But don't think of it as a translation.
And you brought up earlier, what should we have our younger people reading? We shouldn't have them reading. It's going to be very confusing to them.
Read the Bible and don't read some paraphrase.
Even if the New King James, for example, is not as smooth reading
right.
as this, it's true to the text.
Right.
And that's what Bob and I would both recommend. Well, thanks for the question, Don. And as our listeners consider what translation to use, we hope that they take this into consideration.
Amen.
And remember,
keep
grace in focus.
Be sure to check out our daily blogs at faithalone.org. They are short and full of great teaching, just like what you've heard today. Find them at faithalone.org/resources/blog. We would like to thank all of our financial partners who help us keep this show going. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out how you can be a financial partner, visit us at faithalone.org. On our next episode, what is the book of Leviticus all about? Be sure to join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.